We begin the current daf, so let's get in daf nun dalet. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had from our previous Mishnah a halacha, that actually the Gemara introduced a braisa that brought it as a machlekes. There's halacha that someone is metame or medameo or menasech, he does something to his friend's produce that's unrecognizable damage. By making it tame, or by mixing in something like truma or something forbidden, it's not recognizable any physical differences, but halachically it is changed because it's now forbidden to consume or something, or gets downgraded because it's tameh, let's say it's truma, for sure that's a problem. So that's what's called a hezek she'ein nikker, it's unrecognizable damage. So there was a machlekes in the Gemara between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan if hezek she'ein nikker is shmei hezek or not. So the Gemara wanted to say that seemingly that's the machlekes that the Gemara brought from a brayso of Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. We're regarding this halacha, the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda says like our Mishnah, that only if it's done b'mezid are you going to be chayiv, but if you did it b'shagi, you're going to be potter. Whereas Remeir says, no, echad shagi v'echad mezid, you're going to be chayiv. So something the Gemara said, that that's what they're arguing about. The one who holds that you're going to be chayiv is because it's considered hezek, so even if you do b'shagi, you're chayiv. Whereas the one that holds that you're potter holds that really it's not hezek, but we're going to say that when you do b'mezid because of tikkun olam, then you're going to be chayiv. Whereas the Gemara said, no, and actually the Gemara had previously proven that fact, that the halacha is hezek she'ein nikker is loy shmei hezek, like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Chizkiyah. But the machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, although everyone really holds that it's not considered damage and you shouldn't be chayiv even if you do it deliberately, but tikkun olam tells you we don't want people running around being metama other people's things and saying, big deal, I'm potter, I'm exempt. So to prevent that, we said, okay, rabbinically we're going to make you liable for being metame or mixing in truma in your friend's chulin. You'll be chayiv if you did it deliberately. But there is a machlekes remain behuda regarding when you do it b'shagig. When you did it by mistake, there's no reason to institute tikkun olam because you didn't do it on purpose. But there's a machlekes if we say, if we're geyser, shagig or tumezit. Do we hold you liable even when you do it by mistake because we want to enforce the concept of to penalize people when they do it deliberately? And that is, Remeir holds that we are kind of shagig or tumezit. And therefore, even when you do it b'shagig, you're going to be chayiv of the tikkun olam of mezit. Whereas according to Behuda, no, b'shagig, you're going to be potter, there's no tikkun olam over there, only by b'mez. That was how the Gemara explained the machlekes. The problem is, the Gemara had brought another braisa that seemingly Remeir and Behuda have the opposite opinions, where Remeir is the one that's not penalizing shagot b'mezid, and Behuda is the one that is penalizing shagot b'mezid. So the Gemara explains that braisa is different, because that's told by an isadoi raisa. By the raisa, yes, they hold the opposite, as we explained in the previous stuff, where Remeir holds that then there's no requirement to enforce because no one's going to come to violate a biblical violation. And therefore, only when you do b'mezid are you chayiv, but shagig not. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds now the other way around, that by rabbinics, we don't have to be kind of shagot b'mezid. When you do such a severe penalty like a isad d'oraisa, then we penalize you even when you do it b'shagig. And then the Gemara also clarified that Shemitah is actually its own halacha. Therefore, that doesn't contradict Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda's own opinions. And that's where we continue now. Whereas we have it right now, we have Remeir's opinion that he holds that by dirabanans we are geizer shagot mezit and deraisa is not. And Yehuda holds actually the opposite. By deraisa we are geizer shagot mezit and by dirabanans not. Now that's where the Gemara continues as a toshima. Coming here seemingly proves that Remeir holds by dirabanans that we're not geizer shagot mezit, which is not the way the Gemara came out before in explanation of that braisa. By which is the same halacha as our Mishnah of metame b'dameh and menasich, which are rabbinic violations, and Remeir holds that even b'shagi you are going to be chayiv, even though, as the Gemara explained, hezek she'ein nikker is loishme hezek, and the whole mezid is only a rabbinic violation. We're kind of shagi out to mezid. Seemingly, the Gemara is going to bring a raya from this brisa that Remeir is not kind of shagi out to mezid by the rabbanan, which contradicts what the Gemara said before. So the raya is as follows: the brisa says if ochal truma. If a zar, a non-kayin, consumes truma inadvertently by mistake, even if the truma that he ate was temeya, was impure, which the kayin can't eat that truma temeya, he could use it as fuel, but he can't even eat it, still says the braisa, mishalom chulin tahirin. The Yisrael who ate that truma, who has to compensate the kayin, when he pays him back, he has to pay him back chulin, regular produce, that's tahar. Which the Gemara shortly is going to ask, why would he have to pay him back tahar? If he consumed temeyan, which is very low value for the kain himself, why when he pays him back for the damages, does he have to give him taharin, which is obviously great for the kain, he can now eat that. Why can't he pay him back? Chulin Tameim, which is exactly the type of produce that he had eaten, which was Tameim themselves. Now, the understanding of this b'rais is based on the halacha that if someone consumes truma b'shoigig, specifically inadvertently, he doesn't pay back money. He actually has to pay back produce. And moreover, he doesn't pay back truma, which is what he ate. Rather, he pays back already tithed produce, which is chulin, ready to eat for anybody. Now, when he pays it back to the kayin, then actually it becomes truma. And that's learned out from the pasuk in Mayukach of Beis that says, V'nosan la'koyin es ha'koydish, you give to the kayin that which is koydish, a reference to truma, which the interpretation is, through the nesina, which v'nosan la'koyin, as you give it, then it's es ha'koydish, then it becomes holy, then it becomes truma. So obviously what we see from the pasuk is that it has to be something that's fit for it to become truma the moment you give it to the kayin. Which obviously money cannot become truma. Food objects could become truma. So that's where we know the halacha. When someone eats b'shoigig truma, he has to give back a food item that could become truma. And that's the obligation when you eat b'shoigig. Again, and the Gemara will address, so fine, but why do I have to give back chulin tahirin? Why can't I give back chulin tamein if what I had eaten and I have to compensate for that was truma tamein? So when I give the chulin tamein, it'll then become truma tamein. Now, however, as Rashi points out, if someone eats truma b'mezid, then actually he could pay back money. Then there's not the halacha that you pay back in produce itself. But we're discussing over here in this brisa, if someone ate truma b'shagig. So you have to pay back chulin tahar. Now, then the brisa continues and says, shilim chulin tamein mahu. Well, what's the halacha? Although the requirement is, as we said, to pay back chulin tahirin, what happens if he paid back the kayin with chulin that's tamein? So there's a machlekes, Amar Sumchas Meshum Reb Meir. He says, Bishoigig, meaning, if by mistake you paid him back with chulin tamein. What does that mean by mistake? I mean, he didn't know that the chulin that he had all these boxes. He says, I'm sorry, I know we ate up your truma, it was a mistake. Here, I have all these boxes of chulin I'm going to pay you back with. And he didn't realize that the chulin he's paying back with was tamein. So says Reb Meir, when you did it by mistake, so tashlum of tashlumin, it's considered a valid payment. And you're exempt with those payments. And they now, when you have this v'nosan l'koyin es ha'koydish, the chulin tamei now becomes trumat tamei, which is okay, it's a good payment because that's exactly what you had consumed, and you gave him back exactly what you took from him. Now, b'mezid, however, says Ramei, if you did it deliberately, then ain't tashlum of tashlumin. Then that's not a valid payment, which the Gemara is going to ask, why is that? So even if you did it deliberately, and maybe like a tchila, we don't want you to pay back chulin tamein, we want to give back chulin tarin for whatever reason that is, Even if he did it deliberately after the fact, the Gemara is going to ask, that should be okay, because you ate up Truma Tameya, and you're now, when you're giving him back to Chulin Tameya, it's becoming, when you give it to him, Truma, and it's Truma Tameya, so he has back exactly what you took from him, why shouldn't that be valid after the fact? But that's the halacha of Remeya. Now, the Chachamim, they say, and they argue, they say, no. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Whether if when you're paying back this Chulin Tameya, you did it by mistake, or even if you did it deliberately, so what, I eat from this guy, Truma Tamein, I'm going to pay him back, Chulin Tamein. So either way, the halacha says, Acham is Tashlum of Tashlumin. That definitely is, according to the basic halacha, that's considered a payment. And essentially what happens is that those Chulin Tamein become Truma Tamein, and that's the Kayan's money. In other words, if let's say he goes and now he takes this Truma Tamein, and which has some value, because you could use it as fuel, can't eat truma tamei, but you can use it for certain things, you give for your animals. So let's say he goes and he's mekadesh a woman with that, what he was paid up from this Yisrael, so she'll be mekadeshes. It's a valid payment, it's his money. But say the chachamim, v'chayzru mishal m'chulin tarim. Then you got to go back and pay him back chulin that was tar, not tamei. In other words, as Rashi explains, it's a penalty. But obviously that chulin tarim doesn't become truma. He now has chulin tarim from you. Meaning the first payment was the real payment. And therefore that becomes, as the halacha of someone that eats from a kayin, his truma, when he pays him back the chulin, becomes truma. And that's the kayin's payment. Now that we make you have to pay again, which is the amount that you had damaged from him, and in chulin tahirim, not in tumim that you had done, that's just a penalty. And he gets to keep that as chulin tahirim. That's the machlokes again, Remeir and the chachamim, regarding when you did it b'mezid, that you paid up the chulin tumim. Is that okay? Is that going to be that it's not a tashlumin at all? Or is it like the chum that it is a tashlumin, but we penalize you anyway, whether you did it b'shege or b'mezit? Now, That's the understanding the way it's written. But the Gemara tells us actually about Avinu, but we had asked regarding this brisa. B'meizeh, and this was a question we were alluding to before, when it was done deliberately. Amai ein tashlum of tashlum, and why does Remeir say that's not going to be a valid payment? Question is, why? Why did we penalize? Seemingly it's a penalty. Why did we penalize when it's done deliberately regarding these payments where you said, okay, I'm going to pay you chulin tamayim. Problem is, you didn't do anything to create a deficiency in the payment that you owe the guy, the kind that you had eaten from. Actually, the Gemara says even to the contrary. Tavei lav bracha. This guy should be blessed for paying up with this chulin tamayim for the truma tamayim that he had eaten. Why? The achamineh, because what did he eat from the kohen? He ate from him truma that was tamay. That's midi delechazale b'mei tumase. That's something that's not even fit for the kohen when he's tamay, because the halacha is that if someone eats truma, a kohen, in tumas haguf, when he's tamay, that's forbidden, even if the truma that he's eating is tamay, that doesn't make it any better. If he's tamay with tumas haguf, he can't eat truma. So, therefore, this truma tamayah, that he had eaten from the kohen, what did he take away from him? He obviously can't eat it when he's tahar, and because you can't eat truma tamayah, and you can't even eat it when you're tamay either. So, and yet v'kom mishalom le, what did this guy? What's he paying him back? He's paying him back chulin tamayim, which at least is midi dechazle b'mei tumasai. It's at least something fit for the kohen. Meaning, when the kohen's tahar, he obviously can't eat chulin tamayim because he's not being matam himself. But when he's tamay anyway, he could eat chulin tamayim because he's tamay. Truma tamay you can't eat because you can't eat truma when you have tumas aguf. But at least then he'd be able to eat the chulin tamayim at that time. So you're actually upgrading in the payment. Now, Rashi points out, although really not upgrading, because ultimately, when you pay with the chulin tamayim, it doesn't stay chulin. As we explained before, it actually becomes, in the payment, when it gets to the kohen, become truma, and it's going to become truma tamay. So you're right, it's not going to be fit for the kohen b'mei tumasai, this chulin tamayim that you're paying. But what the Gemara is asking is that at least the intention of the Yisrael who's paying back to the kohen, his intention was to pay back something that would have been, I mean, he doesn't realize it's going to become truma, he's paying back chulin tamayim. Well, at least the kohen could have it when he's tamay. Now, again, technically it's not going to work out. But definitely it's not any worse than what he ate. So therefore, our question on this braisa was, we don't understand the halacha of Remeir. So, v'amar rabba. So, Rabba had actually explained. V'amri la, and some say it was kadim, which is that means someone's name or without attribution. Chesur mechser v'acha ketani. Actually, there are words missing from this braisa, and actually this is the way it should be read. Achal truma tamaya, which was the case we had thought up until now, was what the whole braisa was talking about. Actually, those are the words that's missing. If someone ate truma that's tamay from a kohen, mishalim kol dehu, he could pay back whatever he wants, meaning whatever type of chulin, whether tahar or tamay, is going to work. Because as we explained, yes, why shouldn't that work? Even if you pay my chulin tamayim, if it's not better, it's definitely not any worse than what you ate, so that's for sure going to be okay. Now, what the braisa was discussing was a different case. Achal truma tahayra, if the Yisrael ate truma that was tahar, that's what the braisa was saying, so mishalim chulin tamayim, you got to pay back exactly. That's the obligation to pay back chulin tamayim, so that when you give it back to him, it'll become truma tahar. Now, that's what the braisa was discussing. Shilim chulin tamayim mahu. What's going to be the halacha if, let's say, when you paid him back chulin, you didn't pay him back chulin tahayim, you paid him back chulin tamayim. That's where we have the machlekas. Simchas eimim mishum remeir. He said a name of remeir. B'shaygig tashlum of tashlumin. If you did it inadvertently, it's going to be a valid payment after the fact. Now, the reason is, and this is what we explained before, the unique halacha is when someone eats truma b'shogig, by mistake, he didn't realize he was at a kohen's house, he thought this was chulin, and it turns out he ate truma. The halacha is you pay what's called lefi mida, according to volume. You don't pay according to the monetary value, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Pesachim. Now, therefore, even though that what you're paying back, this chulin tamayim, is downgrade from what you had eaten, which was truma tahira, but biblically that's considered a valid payment. Now, although the rabbis say, rabbinically, we require you to pay exactly what you had damaged, but since that's a biblical payment, the rabbis didn't penalize after the fact when you did it b'shagig, because since you did it by mistake, you didn't realize when you're paying back that it's chulin that was tamay. So, okay, you know, although rabbinically we want you to pay back exactly what you had damaged, but biblically that's considered a valid payment, you did it by mistake, okay, teshlum of teshlum. Now, b'mezid, but let's say he was deliberate. He knew that this chulin that he's paying back the kohen that he had eaten truma tahira, he knew that he's paying back chulin tamayim, and he did it deliberately. then ain tashlum of tashlum. That's where Meir says that no, that's not going to be a valid payment. Here the rabbis step in, they penalize the person because he's intending to create a loss for the kohen. So therefore they said, rabbinically, that's not going to be considered a valid payment. You got to pay him again. That's what the Chum said. No. Biblically, it's considered a valid payment, whether you did b'shogeg or b'meis, it doesn't make a difference. You pay lefi mida, and since you're paying back the value of how much you had damaged, even though you ate truma tahira. And now when you're paying back chulun tameim, you're giving him back essentially truma tameim, doesn't make a difference, it's a valid payment. But, as we mentioned before, they hold b'chayzim b'sham chulun tahira. But the rabbis do step in and they say, you know what? You're right, that was the payment. But now you got to pay back chulun tahirim exactly like you had consumed. You had consumed truma tahira. Now we're going to penalize you, and you got to give him back chulun tahirim for the amount that you had damaged. That's the brisa. Now, v'amr v'acha b'reid ravika. V'acha b'reid ravika explains in Maseches Yevamos on that tzadim et alef. He actually explains that regarding when it's done deliberately, this that Reb Meir says the words, which it could sound like he's arguing on the chacham, and that's what he comes to explain. In that area, is actually not. When he uses the words ain tashlum of tashlumen, it's not considered payment. When he says that, he doesn't mean it's not a payment, like the way the Chacham say that it's a payment, but that anyway we penalize you, you have to pay up with Chulun Tahirim. When he says it's not a payment, he means it's not a payment to exempt the person who's paying. In other words, Reb Meir holds like the Rabbanan that you got to go back and pay up Chulun Tahirim. Now, so when you do it deliberately, there is no Machlekes Reb Meir and the Chacham. They both agree that it's considered a payment. Although the words of Reb Meir is it's not a payment, it really is a payment, because biblically it's a payment, so you pay it up. It's just that rabbinically now you got to go back and pay again. That's what the words of Reb Meir when he says it's not a payment, because you got to pay again. Now it's actually regarding when you do it by mistake, where that's where Reb Meir argues on the Rabbanan. Why? Because Hacha b'kansu shaygata mezeke b'nayu. The difference between them, what's the machlek is when you do it by mistake, is do we penalize when you do something inadvertently because of the penalty that we give you when you do it deliberately? Where Reb Meir savar loy kansu shaygata mezer. Reb Meir holds that we don't penalize when you do it by mistake because of the rabbinic penalty when you do it deliberately. And therefore, he said, okay, b'shagi tashlumov will be tashlumen. We're not going to have to make you pay again chun tarim. The Chachamim comes to the Chachamim and say, no, we penalize even by b'shagig atu b'meizit. So that's what the Gemara is asking. This halacha is an issed rabbanan. Why? Because biblically, as we mentioned before, it's a valid payment. Because as we said, although let's say you were mazig truma tahira, but when you eat truma b'shagig, the halacha is you pay according to mida, according to the measurement. And therefore, even when you pay up chulun tameim, even deliberately, the most that you're really doing is an issed rabbanan. And because the rabbis say, okay, no, we don't want you to, you got, you ate up his truma tahira, paying back chulun tahira. And if you don't, so what we see is that Reb Meir holds, okay, if you did it deliberately, then the rabbis say, okay, it's not a payment, you got to pay again. But when you do it b'shagig, Reb Meir is not kainu shagug atar mezid. Chacham hold that they are. Reb Meir not. Now that contradicts what we said in the previous daf. We concluded that mitamim medamim anasach, Reb Meir holds that both b'shagig and b'mezid, you can be chayv l'shalem because it's kainu shagug atar mezid by halacha d'rabbanan. Yet here we have halacha d'rabbanan where the whole iser is rabbinic, and that's why we penalize by b'mezid, and yet Reb Meir is not kainu shagug atar mezid. And that's why he holds it, b'shagig tashlumav will be tashlumen. So the Gemara answers, as it does for all the future questions, the same type of answer, where hachi hashti, can you compare the two? Yes, they're both drabbanans, and they're both regarding the halacha of being kainu shagug atar mezid. But hasam, there from the price that we just quoted, gavra lishlumi komechavin, this person is an upstanding person. His intention is to pay back. He's not trying to avoid the law. He's coming, saying, you're right, I damaged, I'm going to pay. Now, but still, look, I'm biblically allowed to give something that's tamein because essentially it's lafim midah mishalim. So says the Gemara, anan nekim velikneseh. So we're going to come and penalize him for when he does something by mistake. In other words, when he does it deliberately. So no, come on, you're trying to cause a loss for the kohen. Give him chulun tahirim. You consume this truma tamein. But when he does it b'shagig, we're going to penalize him because of his. But what's this guy's upstanding guy? What do you think he's trying to do? He's trying to pay. I didn't realize that was chulun tameim. So they say, okay, fine, it's going to be good. But regards to the halacha mitame, medameya, when you do it b'shagig, you're not up to any good. When you by mistake, mixed in truman, that guy's chulun. Or if you metamet. okay, it was by mistake, but what were you doing over there? We want you to be careful. Your intentions weren't any noble pursuits. So then we're kain shagot amazed in the halachas of the Rabbanah, according to Rameir. But over here, why would we penalize someone that's trying to do something good? Yes, b'shagi, he ended up doing something that was not so good. But in those type of cases, we're not going to penalize a person when his intention was to pay up, to do something good. Similarly, Tashima, the Gemara says, come in here, the same type of a question and answer on Rameir. We learn in the Braisa that says, Dam shenitma bezarku, regarding blood that became tummy in the Beis HaMikdash, which one is supposed to have tar, the blood should stay tar when it's going to be thrown on the Mizbeach, and not supposed to have anything that's tummy. But it became tummy, and still bezarku, they threw it onto the Mizbeach to conclude the Avodah of this carbon. Says the Braisa, Beshagig hurtza, if you did it by mistake, you didn't realize, then the tzitz, which is the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol, is going to create an appeasement, and it's going to say, okay, what was done is valid. And then the meat of that carbon is going to be permitted to be eaten. But, b'mezid loy hortza, if it was done deliberately, where the guy said, I know it's tamei, I'm going to do it anyway, then the tzitz is not going to be meratza, that was not valid. Now, and which this is only rabbinic halacha, because that's a penalty to say that the meat of that carbon is going to be forbidden to be consumed. But, obviously, since biblically that is valid, the bialim, the owners of that carbon, are still going to have an atonement even though it was done b'mezid. Now, this, as we said, the throwing of the blood b'mezid deliberately, even though it's tamei, is only a rabbinic isser because midrash biblically. You could throw it like a tchila, even though it became tamei, because the tzitz is meratz. The tzitz says, what the tzitz does is that even things become tamei, it's meratz, it creates an appeasement, it's going to create an atonement. But rabbinically, they don't want things to become tamei. They say, if it's done b'mezid, it's not going to be valid. In other words, the bialim, the owner of the carbon, will have his atonement, but you can't eat from the carbon. But by b'shagig, you could eat from it. Now, the question is, here we have a rabbinic halacha that we penalize deraisa and not, that we penalize when it's done b'mezid, which is by derabana, and we're not going to shagot the mezid. So that contradicts what we said for Remeir. So amalach Remeir, again, Remeir would tell you, hachi hashtu, can you compare the two? Hasim over there in this brice that we just brought down, when he does it by mistake, what's his intention? He thinks he's doing the holiest of things. He's coming to do an atonement. He's bringing kapara for this person. So we're going to come and penalize him for when he did it b'shagig? Yes, b'mezid will penalize, but b'shagig, if he's trying to do good, we're going to penalize him? No, of course not. Whereas again, by metam and b'dam and asach, yes, they will penalize him because you got to be more careful. You weren't up to anything that was noble. Now Rashi just points out that actually, the Gemara could have answered that who's the Tana of this Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Because, as we mentioned, he disagrees and he is not Kohen Shoygot Amazed by Drabbanan. Now, the reason being is because this, unlike all the other questions, is not a Stam Mishnah. We say that an anonymous Mishnah, we say, is usually like Remeir. So we could ask, oh, on Remeir's own opinion. But this is a Braisa that's brought in Masechtas Menachas Daf Chofei Amad Aleph. So on that Rashi says, but still the Gemara preferred to answer that even if it's like Remeir, what would he say? And therefore the Gemara says he would say that it's still not a difficulty because there it's at least his intentions are noble, then we're not kohen shagot to mezid, in contrast to when it's metame and medame, the halachas of our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues asking, Toshima, the Gemara asks, which this is a question on Remeir, because this is a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah in Masechtas Trumas. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, Stam Mishnah, usually it's Remeir. And seemingly, it's going to contradict what we had assumed up until now in the halacha of Remeir. The Mishnah says, Hama'aser b'Shabbos. If someone goes and takes off Meiser, if you have Tevel untithed produce, and you take off Meiser on Shabbos, so b'shagig yechel, if you did it by mistake, then you could eat that produce. B'mezid lo yechel, if you did it deliberately, then you can't eat it. Now, the halacha of taking off, the prohibition of taking off Meiser on Shabbos, it's a rabbinic isser. As the Gemara teaches us in the Mishnah Masechtas Beit Daf Lamed Vav Min Aleph, that what's considered a shvus in regards to a mitzvah purpose, it's what's called emag bein trumas and maisus. You can't take off trumas and maisus on Shabbos because rabbinically it looks like you're fixing something. You're not really fixing something. It's not a malacha, but rabbinically it looks like you're fixing because essentially you are. You weren't able to consume it up until now, and now you could. So it's rabbinically forbidden. So the question is, if Stam Mishnah is Remeir, so we see Remeir saying that by rabbinic Isser, b'mezid we're penalizing you, and not by b'shagig. So you see, we don't say shagigot b'mezid. Yet we said before by metam v'dam menasach by the rabbanan that we are kind of shagigot b'mezid. So again, the Gemara answers the same answer. Hachi hasha, can you compare them? Hasam over there in that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, gavur liskuna k'machaven. What's he intending to do? He's trying to do mitzvah. He's trying to perfect things. He's trying to kasher his food. he's taking off Trumas and Maisa. He's trying to be a righteous person. Now, Anan Lekim Meliknase, now he didn't realize he's doing something wrong. He did a Bishagi, so we're going to penalize him? Of course not. And therefore, there, Bishagi, you can eat it, and only Bemezid, you cannot. So to Tashima, the Gemara says, coming here from that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, that says, Hamatvel Kalim B'Shabbos. If someone immerses his Kalim on Shabbos in the mikvah, where again, immersing one's utensils in a mikvah on Shabbos is a rabbinicus, or as the Gemara teaches in Masechtas Beya, and if you trust at Aleph, because again, it's also the same idea where it's nearer, it looks like you're fixing something, like you're masakin the kli, because up until now you couldn't use it. Now that you're immersed in the mikveh, you could use it. So rabbinically, that's prohibited. So, b'shoigig yishtamash ben, if you did it by mistake, you could use it on Shabbos. B'mezid lo yishtamash ben, if you did it deliberately, you cannot use it. And again, as we said, all these are questions, remeir on remeir from Stam Mishnah, which generally is remeir, where again, previously we had said that he is kind of shoigot b'mezid. As we mentioned regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, as it was brought in the Braisa, that he holds that you're chayiv both shug and mezid. And here, seemingly, we have a case of the Rabbanan that seemingly is Remeir, and we're not koyin the shug or the mezid. So again, the Gemara answers, Hache Ashta, can you compare the two? Hasam gavra letuhuri moni kamachavni. He has noble pursuits. He wants to purify. He's trying to do halacha, make sure his vessels are kosher. A non lekim malikness, so when he did it by mistake, we're going to penalize him? No, of course not. Penalizing is always, generally, you want to prevent people from trying to do things wrong. He wasn't trying to do things, he was trying to do things right. So when he does a b'shag, we're not going to penalize him. But metame v'dam anasich, you got to be more careful. So we're going to cancel you, shag atu mezid. So the Gemara has resolved the questions we had in Remeir. But now the Gemara says, v'rami Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda b'drabanan. Similarly, we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, who we had mentioned before on the previous staff, that he actually by the Rabbanan, as the halacha of our Mishnah, he's not kind of shagot amazing. He holds that when you do it deliberately, okay, then tikkun olam will penalize you. But by halacha de rabbanan, when you did it b'shagi, we're not going to penalize you. But similarly, the Gemara says, the time like when the Braisa said that he actually is kind of shagot amazing by the rabbanan. How so? Now, this Braisa is talking about a halacha of what's called egoizi perich. Egoizi perich was a certain type of nuts that were very chashuv, very expensive and high quality type of nuts, which the halach is that they're not batal. Although generally when you have something usr, let's say these nuts are arula, they're forbidden, they're from the first 3 years of the tree, which you can't go ahead and eat those things. So generally something is batal either in raiv, or it's batal in 100 or 200 or 1,000, whatever it is. So by these nuts, they're not batal even in 1,000. Why? Because they're considered very chashim and they're distinct. Bittel is that you don't see this thing anymore. It gets mixed in, it loses its status. Something that's so chashim doesn't lose its status. Now, the halacha is, if let's say these nuts get crushed. So let's say they're nuts of arla of the first 3 years, and then they fall into something that's permitted, meaning non-arla type of nuts, then they'll be what's called ayla. It'll be bittel in the halacha that arla usually requires of the 200 to 1. But let's say, and the reason is because since it's crushed, it loses its chashibis. Now it's like regular arla. And arla is bottled 200 to 1. But let's say naflu, let's say it first fell into a mixture. And then vinispatsu, then once it was in the mixture, where again it's usr, because even in 1,000 to 1 it's going to be usr, because it's still intact, it's chashiv. But when after it fell into the mixture, then it got crushed. So says the Braisa that echad, whether it was crushed shayig by mistake, where it wasn't intended for it to lose its chashivus, in other words, to make it then bottle in 200 to 1, as the halacha is by Erla, it wasn't intended. There was the pile of these nuts, and some kid came running on and banged it and crushed the nuts. Or the Echad Mezid, or the Braisa says, or whether it was done deliberately, he deliberately crushed it so that, I have this 200,000 nuts, I can't eat it because this one nuts, he's so upset, he crushes it on purpose. So then says the Braisa, lo yalu, they're not going to be bottled even in 1,000, even whether it was done b'shoig or b'mezid. Divrei Meir Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason is, because Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda penalize, even when you do it b'shoigig, atu, because then you might come to do it b'mezid. Now, even though that the case that we're discussing over here, where you're being mevatel, these egoizi perich, these expensive nuts, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. Meaning, because even when they're whole, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. Because biblically, there actually is no difference if something is chashuv or it's not chashuv. Everything is bottled. The pasuk says in Shemos Chaf Gimel, it says, Achri Rabin Lahatis. The majority defines the quantity. And therefore, once you have a majority of heter, it's going to be bottled. All these things of higher quantities of Shishima, 100 and 200, all these different halachas, they're all rabbinic. So at most, this thing is rabbinic law. And still we see that Remain Yehuda are kindness, Shaygot Amazed, because if we're going to let you get away with it when you did it by mistake, you might come to do it deliberately. Whereas Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon, they disagree. They say, no, Peshogigalo, if you did it by mistake, okay, now you have a crushed Egoizi Perch, which is not Chashav anymore. So it's only regular Arla. It will be bottled in this mixture of 200 to 1. But Bemezul Loyal, if you did it deliberately, then not. Then we're not going to let you get away with it. It's not going to be bottled in that 200. Now, that asks the Gemara, Vahacha. Now, in the case of this Brisa, Dimidai Raisa, biblically, as we mentioned before, from Acher Rabban Lahatas, Chad betray bottle, really, a 2 of Heter to 1 of Isser, even in these Goizi Perach, even if it would be intact, it would already be bottled. Vrabbanahu de Gazer, and all these things are rabbinic decrees regarding the halachas a bit. For sure, of when you come to crush it, it's, and to say that it's Usr is only rabbinic. Yet for Kukonis, Rabbi Yehuda, and still Rabbi Yehuda says that we're going to say that it's Usr even b'shoygugotu mezid, but that contradicts what we said before. As we find the halach of our Mishnah, as the Brisa says, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that when you metame, you're medame menasach, which is Isid Rabbanon, when you do it b'mezid, then it's going to be Usr. B'shoygug, it's not going to be Usr because we're not kain shoygugotu mezid. And yet here we have clearly a case of the Rabbanon, that Rabbi Yehuda is kain shoygugotu mezid. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. Usually he's not kain shoygugotu mezid by the Rabbanon. But Hasam, Hainu time of the Rabbi Huda, there in this price that we just quoted, the reason of Rabbi Huda that he is Kain and Shagot Amazed, even though it's only Drabanan, is Mishum de Asi Le'erume. Here there's more reason to be concerned that the person might use subterfuge and really he'll intend to crush it. Because look, I got these 100,000 knots. Because there's one Agazi Parach that this kid just dropped in there, I'm stuck. So he's going to intend to smash it. He's going to say, oh, I did it by mistake. I didn't realize that. I didn't intend that it should get crushed so that it could then become batel. But really, of course, that's what he intended. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says, and he agrees to Rabbi Meir in that halacha, that we're going to count you shaygugot amazed. Because that's a certain situation where you might come to do it deliberately and then claim you did it b'shaygig. So we're going to say, hey buddy, that's not going to work. Even if you did it b'shaygig, it's not going to be batel. Again, out of concern, because then you might come to really do it, but mezid. But you're right, in a regular situation when you did something by mistake, by the Rabbanon, we're not claiming the shaygig or to mezid. But now the Gemara actually says, v'ramid Rabbi Yesi ad Rabbi Yesi. So we introduced this Braisa as a question on Rabbi Huda's opinion, but in this Braisa we had the opinion of Rabbi Yesi and Rabbi Shimon, who said that b'mezid, it's not going to be batel, meaning we're going to make a knas for you when you do it b'mezid by the Rabbanon, but b'shaygig, it is going to be okay. Now, that the Gemara asks a contradiction in Rabbi Yisrael's opinion. The Tanam, because we learn in the Mishnah Masechet this Arla that says, Netiya shel Arla. Let's say someone has a sapling of Arla, meaning a tree in its first 3 years, which the peiros are forbidden, or v'shel kalai hakerem, or let's say some other thing that's planted in a vineyard, where if you have a whole vineyard, you plant something else that's forbidden to be planted over there, then everything becomes forbidden, because it's considered a forbidden mixture. So on that says the Mishnah, Shenis arvum netiya sacheris, of let's say this sapling, you don't remember which one it is. So it's mixed in with all the other saplings. Now, says the Mishnah, Harezu lo yalakit. Now, you can't go ahead and gather any of the fruits of the whole field. Why? As Rashi explains, because as long as the tree is attached to the fruits are attached to the tree which are attached to the ground, so it's considered chashav, it's considered something that's distinct and unique. It's not considered like mixed into other things, and therefore you cannot create any bittel, it cannot become nullified. Now, the thing is that when you do pluck the fruits of any tree, essentially, at that moment, you created a bittel of, let's say, even for Arla, which is 200 to 1, of the fruits, because there was thousands of fruits here in this field. The thing is, when they're still attached to the ground, you can't do bittel, because it's considered chashav distinct. Once you pick the fruit, it's not considered chashav anymore, because it's not attached to the ground. Now, we don't know. It could be one of these tens of thousands of fruits. Now it's going to be bittel. That's a problem because that's what's called being mevatel iser leketchila. You can't initially go ahead and create something to be mevatel. Let's say you have a piece of chazer, something that's non-kosher. Say, chazer is batel in 60. I'm going to go ahead and throw it into a kosher pot and I'll be able to eat that piece of chazer. No. Can't be mevatel iser leketchila. You can't initially go ahead and do that. So therefore says the Mishnah, you can't pluck any fruits because we don't know which tree it is. It can't be batel, even though there's a thousand to one. It doesn't make a difference. It's chashev. It's not batel. And when you're going to pick it, then you're going to be creating the bittel. Now, says the Mishnah, v'im likud, but let's say the guy didn't ask any shilas. He thought it's okay. He's like, okay, what's the odds this is that tree? So he picks it. So says the Mishnah, yalo be'echad o'mesayim. Then, since it was done by mistake, he didn't intend to do it to be mevatlet, he thought that it was already batel when it was attached. So it will be batel of a ratio of 200 to 1. And if there are 200 other trees over there, then it's going to be batel. Ubavachulay skam in the locket, as the Mishnah says, as long as his intention was not specifically to pick it and then knowing, oh, I'm going to pick it, it's going to become batel. You didn't do it to be mevatlet like a tchili. You did it by mistake. You didn't really do anything wrong. Once you did it, okay, it's batel 200 to 1. Rabbi Yesi Armahi disagrees. He says, even if your intention was to pick it, you knew that this is a problem, that it can't become batel. But the moment you pick it, it's going to be batel. Still, even though you did it deliberately, yalo be'echad mesayim, it will be batel in the ratio of 200 to 1. The difficulty is, obviously you see from this Mishnah in Arla, that Rabbi Yesi holds that even if something is done deliberately, that it's still going to be batel. We're not going to penalize you by Issa Drabban, even do it b'mezid. But that contradicts what we said in the previous brisa, where, okay, by Shagig Otamezid, he doesn't penalize you, but by b'mezid, he does penalize you. And here, even by b'mezid, he's not penalizing. So that the Gemara says, Naha Idmar La. It was said regarding this Mishnah Masechtas Arla. Amar Rab, he explained why there it's different. Chazaka in Odom Iser es Karma b'netia Achas. There's a presumption, an assumption, that a person would not make his whole vineyard forbidden because of one sapling, one tree that he's planting. In other words, no one would plant a tree that's going to be in its first 3 years, which is an arla tree. That means for the next 3 years, that tree is forbidden to have from its pears amongst all his other trees without a siman. You got to be crazy to do that. Because of one tree, is going to make his whole vineyard forbidden? Because if you don't know which one it is, we said that it's going to be aser because it's chashav and it's not batel. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, since that's not common, it's what's called misle shicha, because who in their right mind would plant one tree that for the next 3 years its fruits are forbidden amongst a vineyard? So therefore, the rabbis were not stringent in such a case, and therefore, even if it was done deliberately that you plucked it, it's not going to be aser, because it's a misle shicha. So although, yes, generally, like let's say in the previous brisa, when something of iser falls into heter, where it could happen, that happens a lot. That's what a large chunk of the halachas of Taruvis is, where you have these agoizi perich that falls into permitted things. Then they're upon and make a knas. They say, okay, you know, it's not batel, it's considered chashev, and if you do it deliberately, then it's still going to be aser. And yes, so therefore Rabbi Yisi says b'mezid is going to be aser, but that's only something that's common. By musal leshchicha, something that's not common, legazer rabbanan, and therefore, even for when you're doing it deliberately, the rabbis did not penalize in this case because it's not common, it's not normal for somebody to plant one tree that's going to be aser either as kalai akarim or as arla amongst his vineyard. And even so, even if he did it, it's you're not allowed to pluck it. But if you did it, even b'mezid, it's not going to be aser. And so too says the Gemara, v'chein ki aser raven. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said the same idea, chazaka eino demoises karma b'netia achas. There's a chazaka, presumption that a person would never make his whole vineyard forbidden because of one sapling, one tree. And therefore the rabbis didn't include that in their gezeira of when you're violating a rabbinic halacha that b'mezid is going to be aser. That's only by something that's common. And since it's not common, even b'mezid, according to Rabbi Yisi, it's not going to be aser. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of all the previous Mishnayos regarding Tikkun Olam, certain halachas that were instituted as a way of preventing or keeping the peace amongst the world, which specifically here is Hakahanim Shepiglu B'Migdash. A Kohen do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. A non-Kohen is not allowed to, but if he has to bring a carbon, the Kohen does the Avodah for him. Now there is a halacha called Pigul. If at the time that he's doing the Avodah, he has a thought that he's going to eat it or do something in an inappropriate way, let's say beyond the time that he's allowed to, or out of the place that he's allowed to, so that becomes pigul, and the whole carbon is invalid. So says the Mishnah, if the Kohanim does that in the Avodah, so mezidin chayav, and if he does it deliberately, so maybe that's not considered a damage, because it's hezek shein nikar. The animal looks the same as it always does. Everything he did, everything the same. Just he had a thought, and maybe he verbalized it, that he's going to do this, so that's going to create a psul. But it's hezek shein nikar. So as we said, according to one opinion, lo shmei hezek, still, b'mezid, we penalize him and he has to pay for that. Whereas, however, according to the other opinion, that there was if you do it b'shaygig, although that there was an opinion, let's say hezek shein nikar is shmei hezek, so really you should be chayiv even by shaygig, but we explained even according to that opinion, by shaygig, the reason why you're going to pater is because we want you to notify the person. Because you did it by mistake, and you're not going to want to tell the person. If you did it deliberately, you're going to want to tell him. Because why are you doing it deliberately? You want to obviously bother him and say, ha ha, your carbon is possible. But if you did it by meshagig, So you're like, oh my, I didn't realize I did something wrong. Now I'm going to have to pay him the whole thing. So we say you're exempt so that you notify the guy so he realizes, okay, I got to bring a new carbon. That's why we're going to say, according to that opinion, according to the one who holds that hezek shein lo shmei hezek, the reason why you're exempt is not considered damaging, you didn't do it on purpose. But the Gemara introduces Tarabana Braisam relating to this concept where that when the someone says something that he did this damage, that he's believed. Actually, that's why he said, according to that mandamo, when you do b'shagig, we say you're exempt so that you tell the person, and obviously that's assuming that we believe the guy that he actually did this thing, that he was metama the tyrus, or that he was mefagel the carbon. So regarding this halacha, the Gemara continues with the following b'raisa. Let's say somebody was working for somebody regarding his tahar types of produce. V'amaloi, and he tells his employee, tyrusha sisi machnit ma. I just want you to know, the tyrus that was working for you and they know you were trying to maintain it to be tar, it actually became tameh. Or, like the case of our Mishnah, he was working with someone with his karbanis. V'amalei, and he tells him, I just want you to know, zvachim shasisi machnis paglu. The karbanis I was making for you, I was doing the avodah and I had this pigal machshava, it's invalid. Says the Braisa, Neman, the kayan or this employee, he's believed to say that it became tameh or that it became pigal, which, again, as we said, it's a hezek shein nikker, but it's obviously a total damage for that party. And the guy's believed to say that, and now the guy has to go under that presumption that it's pigal or that it's tummy. Avol amarloi, but the Braisa says, let's say this kayin or that employee tells him, tayrish sisi mach be employing it. I just want you to know, remember a few weeks ago I was working for you, and there were tyrus, it actually became tummy. Or vizvachim shesisi mach be employing this baglu. The kayin meets the Yisrael in the street, says, remember you brought a carbon, you came to the base of Mekdash a few weeks ago, and I brought a carbon for you. I just want you to know that it actually was pigal. Says the Braisa, ain't an there is not belief. So the Gemara wonders, Maishna Rishon, Maishna Sefer, what's the difference? What's the difference if it's on that day or a different day? Do we believe him or do we not? So there's a machlekes in the Gemara. Am Abaye, he says, Kol Shebiyadoi, whatever it is within the wherewithal of that person to do at that moment when he's notifying that other person, and he could do it anyways right now, so Neman, then he's believed. So therefore, the Rishis told me, for example, in the case where he's still working for the guy, he's still holding on to the produce, and he could be metamed right now anyway. Or let's say the kohen's doing the avoda, and so if he's doing the carbon, so it's talking about, for example, when he notifies the owner, he says, there's many different processes that go on with the carbon. So after he slaughtered the animal, before he took the blood and threw it on the Mizbeach, he goes over to the owner who's standing right out there by the Azar and he says, look, I just want you to know, I just did the Shechita and I was Mefagalet. So he, even if he wasn't, he could still go ahead now by the other Avoides and be Mefagalet then. So regarding those type of halachas where anyways B'yada, he could, even if he didn't, but he could do it right now, so then he's believed. Whereas by the Seifa, when he says, oh, that day, which he doesn't, it's not by him anymore, it was a few weeks ago, then he's not believed to say that that's what happened. Who said that he's saying the truth? Well, you're right. In this other case, the ratio where maybe he's not telling the truth, but he could do it anyway, so if he could do it, so then we, of course, we're going to believe him. That's how Abaye explains the difference between the ratio and the Seifa. Rav Amar, he says that no, even if it's not B'yadah anymore, let's say it's something that happened a few weeks ago, he's still going to be believed. Where Taisa explains that even Rava, who says that you're going to be believed, is only because originally it was B'yadah. Since a few weeks ago he could have, so even now that it's not by him anymore, but he still believed that he did it because he could have done it. Now, so what's the difference between the case of the Seifa? Seemingly that's the case of the Seifa from a few weeks ago. Why over there is he not believed? So Rava explains because that's talking about specifically Kegoin to Ashkeche, where the Kayan had already met up with this guy a few days ago. And v'loyama v'loy midi, and he didn't tell him anything then. Ulebasa hachi ashkeche v'amalei, and then again he meets him again a few days later, and then he tells him. So then we don't believe him, because if it was really true, then you would have told him the first time that you met him. Now that they're telling him a few days later, so then we don't believe you again. It's a reisa in your namanis. We don't trust you, and therefore you're not believed. If it was the first time, then we would believe you because you could have done it back then, so we believe you when you meet him the first time. If you didn't meet him the first time, that's what the case of the Sefer told him, that he's not Naman. Now the Gemara brings a story that illustrates these two opinions. Hahuda Amar Leila Chavri, there was someone that told his friend, Tahirisha Sisi Machbiyim Plaini Nitma, I want you to know, I know I was working for you, and we were trying to keep these things tar. I want you to know that it became Tameh. So Asli Kamei Rabami, so this guy came in front of the Rabami. What should I do? So Amalei said to him, Shuris Hadin, in other words, the law actually dictates that any neman, this guy, your worker, he's actually not believed. Where that's like Abaya's interpretation in the Braisa, where Abaya had said the only way he's believed is if he's working for him right now and he could be Metamet right now. The fact that it was a few days ago, he's not believed anymore. So he says, even though he said that it became Tamet, he's not believed. Now, but Amalef on the Rebbe Asi said in front of Rebbe Ami, and he said, Rebbe, Ato Emer Kain. Rebbe, that's what you say. You say he's not believed. But Hachi Amar Rebbe Yechonim Shem Rebbe Yisi, but I'll tell you over Rebbe Yechonim said in the name of Rebbe Yisi. Where Rebbe Yechonim said, Mo Esa, what can I do? Shahat Torah HaMinasa, the Torah does believe him, even at a later point in time, as the Gemara is going to explain. Which actually is like Rava's interpretation of the Braisa. Where even though it's a later point in time, you are believed. The only reason, again, that he explained the Sefer of the Braisa says you're not believed is because it wasn't the first time that you met him after that. And the first time you didn't tell him anything. A later time you did tell him, then you're not believed. So essentially that these two interpretations is the Machlekes, Abaya and Rava in the Braisa. But the Gemara asks, Heichan HaMinasai, this that Rabbi Yechonah had said in the name of Rabbi Yisi, that he's believed even at a later point in time, where did we find that the Torah believes a person? So Amar B'Yitzchak Bar Bisna, he says, Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur M'Yechiach. We could prove this halacha from the Kohen Gadol who does the Avodah on Yom Kippur, which is that there's a par, there's a bull, and there's a sar, there's a he-goat, that he brings in Lefnai V'Lefnim into the holiest of the holiest. He takes those bloods and he sprays it over there, where he's the only one over there and no one sees him. Where the Chi Amar Pigol Mehemen, if he says that when he was doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash Lefnai V'Lefnim Yom Kippurim in the holiest of holies and he was spraying the blood, that he had a machshava to do it in its inappropriate time, where he made it pigle, so he's believed. Now, the reason is because the Pasuk says, in the Yikra Zayin, it says, Hamakir Voisoi Lo Yichashiv. Now, actually, the literal translation of the Pasuk is that if someone brings this type of a carbon, it's not going to be reckoned for him. But actually, the drasha is to read it that Lo Yichashiv, that he should not think, which comes from the word of machshava, not just of reckoning, he should not think a machshava of pigle. Which, what the Pasuk is telling you, but if you did think a machshava of pigle, then it's going to be pigle. Now, essentially what the Pasuk is telling us, that is the halacha, that we believe the kayin that's doing the avayda, that in other words, when he has this machshava of pigle, it's going to become pigle. Now, the thing is, if when he has the machshava of pigle, it becomes pigle, the question is, umenal yadina. On Yom Kippurim, when he's in the holiest of holies and he's mefagel, from where do we know that it was mefagelit, if not for the fact that we believe him? If we're saying in every situation that he makes a pigle, it becomes pigle. That's what the Pasuk is saying, lo yichashev, and if he does, it becomes pigle. Well, how do we know that it became pigle? But voksib, the Pasuk says, miyikra v'chol odem lo yibo il moye. No one's allowed to be in even the sanctuary when the Kohen Gadol is doing the avayde lifnai v'lifnim. Elah mishom de mehemen. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, this is the source of what Rabbi Yechonah was saying in the name of Rabbi Yisi, that obviously is because we believe the Kohen Gadol, that he was mefaglin. So you see this halacha, even though it's only when he comes out, which is already after he had done the Avodah. So it's not even biyadeh at that moment. Still he's believed to say, because that's what the halacha of the Pasuk is saying, that it becomes pigle. How is it becoming pigle? We obviously have to believe the Kohen Gadol, because no one else was there to witness it at the time. So you see, this halacha, this source, that even at a later point in time, we believe a person that it was mefagol or that it was metama, the taris of somebody else. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation. The Dilma, maybe when the Pasuk says pigle yeah, it's going to become pigle. Maybe it's the shamane de pagle. Maybe it's because we heard the Kohen Gadol, he said in a loud voice, right? No one was in the sanctuary. But the Kohen Gadol, as we find elsewhere in the Gemara, had a very loud voice, where he says, I am going to spray this blood in the holiest of holies with the intention to sacrifice the emurim, which are the sacrificial parts of this carbon, chutz lezmanen, out of the time, meaning at a later point in time that I'm allowed to, which that's halacha pigle. Maybe, yes, you could even have the Kohen Gadol, lefnai v'lefnim, because every pigle, every machshavah's pigle becomes pigle, but it's only because we heard. But who said we believe him at a later point in time? Who said we believe him? So the Gemara says, no. Ilav de mehemen, if you don't believe the Kohen Gadol to say, at a later point in time, when he finally comes out of the Holy of Holies, that I had done the pigle at the time when I was actually doing the Avodah, then Avagav de Shamani, even if we would hear him saying, I'm making this pigle, Nami le mehemen, he still wouldn't be believed. What does that mean? Because the dim ala basahachi. Maybe it was actually after that he had done Davaida, was kamar. Maybe that's when he said it. Maybe he really did Davaida regular. Now, no one's looking. No one's here. He says, I am going to do this and spray this now with the intention of doing the Haktarah at a later point in time. But he didn't do any pigel. So we have to believe him anyway. Says the Gemara, that's the proof that we believe him even at a later point in time, that he was a mefagel. But the Gemara asks, maybe not. Maybe it's not a raya. The Dilma, maybe when do we believe the Kohen Gadol? The Chazine bepishpish. When we see him through the small little hole that actually it was at the time that he was praying that he was saying this. Where that what there was is that there were these small little entrances in what's called the Beis HaChalifos, which is the Chamber of Knives, which you have the Heichel, which opens up, which there's the Mizbeach, and then you walk straight, you hit the Heichel, and then which the Ulam and the Heichel, and then the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now on either side of the Heichel were these Beis HaChalifos, with these chambers of knives where they would keep their knives for the Avodah, which opened up into the Heichel. There was one in the north and one in the south. Now, there were these two entrances that would open up, one in the north and one in the south, these small little entryways. And the reason why there were these entryways was that the whole courtyard, not just what was directly in front of the Heichel, should be kosher for the slaughtering of Kachem Kalam, which like we find by Karban Shlom has to be Pesach Oel Mayid, because we want even the north part of the courtyard and the south part of the courtyard to be kosher, not what's just directly. And by having these entryways open it from these Beis HaChalifos into the Heichel, it's like you already have Pesach Oel Mayid. It's like you're having the opening of the Oel Mayid because they open up into the Oel Mayid. So that's the purpose of these little doorways. Now, actually, Rashi says that there was additionally a lul katan, a small little opening that actually opened up into the holiest of the holies. And this that the Gemara asked, maybe they saw him through the pishpish, which only you could see from the outside through these doorways into the Heichel, was talking about the hazois that he did on the pereches when he was in the Heichel, where no one was able to be in the Heichel either. But you're right, the Gemara could have just easily asked regarding even the avodah that's lefnai v'lefnin, the holiest of holies, that maybe they saw him through the lul. But either way, the Gemara is asking, how do you know that we believe the Kohen when he later comes out to say that he had done pigul, and that's how you're proving the halacha of Rabbi Yossi? Maybe they saw him at the moment when he was doing, you're right, no one was inside, but they could see him through these little doorways, and then they saw him that when he was doing the pigul, he was doing the avodah at that moment. The Gemara says, kasha, definitely, that is a kasha, how that would prove this halacha of Rabbi Yossi that we know, that we believe someone, a Kohen or someone that's, which is working with someone's tires at a later point in time, which again was like Rabbit's interpretation of the Brisa, not like Abaya, where that we believe him even at a later point in time. Seemingly, there's no riot from the Kohen Gadol because maybe we believe him only because we saw him at that moment, but he himself would not be believed at a later point in time. Now, the Gemara continues with another incident, also relating to these halachas about believing someone that what he had done in a kosher way at a later point in time, he says actually was not done in a kosher way. So the Gemara says, "Who does look at Meidir Abami?" There was someone that came in front of the Abami, and Amalei, he says to the Rav, he says, "Sefer Torah shekasavti lepleini. I know I'm a scribe. I wrote a Sefer Torah for that person, but askara shaloi lekasavti lishman. The names of Hashem that I wrote in the Sefer Torah, I actually did not write it to be done for the sake of Hashem's name, and hence actually it's going to be possible. That was invalid." So Amalei, so Abami said to this person, he says, "Sefer Torah biadmi. Who has the Sefer Torah now? This that you say you wrote a Sefer Torah with this person, who has it now?" Amalei bi'alekech, he says, the purchaser already has it. He's unwittingly, I already sold it to him, he has it. So Amalei, Sir Rabbami said to him, "Neman ata lahafsit tzcharcha. You are believed to lose your payment, because you're admitting that you did something wrong, that you didn't write a valid Sefer Torah, so you're not going to get paid. But vi'iata neman lahafsit Sefer Torah. You're not believed to cause a loss and say that the Sefer Torah is going to be possible. Because again, as we explained the Brisa, since it's not in your hand anymore, and again, this is like for sure like a Abaye's interpretation, where you could only say that it was done in the possible way if you still have it, so you could do it in the possible way. Since it's not biyatcha, since it's already by that person, you're not believed anymore. And therefore, you can lose your money, but you're not going to say that, you're not going to be believed that it's possible. Now, Omle Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbami, he says, Nehi dehifsit tzchar skara. So, okay, although he should lose the payment for the Hashem's names that he wrote in the Sefer Torah, because those he didn't do in the kosher way. But Tzchar the Sefer Torah kul mehifsid, but is he going to lose all the payment for the, what's with the rest of the Sefer Torah? All the other words he wrote there he did in a kosher way. Why shouldn't he be paid at least for those words that he wrote? Why is he losing out all of it? So Hamalei, Sir Bami said to him, yes, he's going to lose everything. Shekal Sefer Torah she'in askara sh'leik suvis lishman, because any Sefer Torah, any Torah scroll that the names of Hashem weren't written for Hashem's name, ain't a shavu klum. It's not worth anything. The rest of the Sefer Torah is not valid. and therefore you're not going to get paid for the other things too. So even though those were written with proper intent, if the names of Hashem weren't, the whole thing's not worth, and therefore he's not going to get paid anything. But still the Gemara asks, "V'lavar alayu kumis." But okay, so the names of Hashem weren't written lishma, but why don't you write over, take a pen, take the quill, and write over Hashem's names, write it lishma, v'likache, and then sanctify it. So okay, it wasn't done lishma, but now make it lishma. So the Gemara says, come on, seemingly what Rabbi Amisa Halacha was based on was namely the like Rabbi Yehuda. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That's not because, and actually it's as we learned in the Braisa, Harei shahayit tzarech lichtav es Hashem. The Braisa talks about a case where if someone had to write Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah, v'neskaven lichtav Yehuda, but he didn't realize that. He intended to write the name Yehuda. Now, v'tov lehitl boidalas. Now, he actually erred in his mistake. And when he was trying to write Yehuda, he made a mistake, and he skipped out the Dalet. So it turns out he ended up actually writing Hashem's name, the Yud-K and the Vav-K, but not for the purpose of writing Hashem's name. He actually was trying to write Yehuda. He just by mistake left out the Dalet. So, says the Braisa, Mavra Lav Kulmas. So what you do is you take a pen and you write over for the purpose of writing for Hashem's name, Umekacha, and then you sanctify the Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. They say, no, ain't Hashem in a mufcha. That's not an appropriate way of writing Hashem's name. Since it was originally written, Shaloi l'shem Hashem, you can't just write over and it's not going to be valid. So seemingly, says the Gemara, which Rabbami had said that he's losing the whole payment of the Sefer Torah, what's the problem? Why don't you just write over Hashem's name? Obviously, it's not like a Behuda who holds that you could write over Hashem's name over the word of Hashem itself. So the Gemara says, no, I feel like Behuda, you could say that the halacha of this story with Rabbami was even according to Behuda. Because Ad Kan Lakam Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could write over the word itself? That's Ela B'chada Askara. That's like in this one situation where by mistake you thought you had to write Yehuda, you ended up writing Hashem's name, but not intentionally. So then one word, one Hashem name, that you could write over. But the Kule Sefer Torah, but as in this story was, where the scribe had said the whole Sefer Torah didn't write for Hashem's name, then Loi, that wouldn't help to write over with a Kulmas over every single Yudke Vavke in the Sefer Torah. Mishum Demechzikim Enumer. Because that's a different problem. Because that looks like it's spotted. Because here you're going to have everything written with one layer of ink. And then here you're going to have Hashem's name everywhere with this double layer of ink. It looks spotted. That's why, even according to Behuda, he would agree that it wouldn't be like the Chacham say, Einem in Amufcha, it wouldn't be appropriate. And that's why Rabbami said it's going to be possible, even according to Behuda. Another story the Gemara brings is Ahuda Osle Kamed Rabavo. There was someone that came in front of Rabavo. Omalei said to him, Sefer Torah Shekasavti Leplaini, I wrote a Sefer Torah for this person. Gvilin Shaloi, the parchment that I had written the Sefer Torah on, Lo Yibadetim Lishman, I didn't tan it, I didn't process it for the purpose of being used as a Sefer Torah. So, which makes it problematic. So Amalei, so Rebbe Avoh said to him, Sefer Torah Biadmi, who has the Sefer Torah now? Amalei Biad Lekech, he says, the guy, the purchaser already has it. So Amalei, so he said to him, Mitech Shatin Neman Lahafzit Tzarcha, since you believe to lose your payment because you essentially made the whole Sefer Torah invalid, so you're not going to get paid for your years of work for the Sefer Torah, atanem al-hafsa Sefer Torah. So you also believed to say and that the Torah is going to be invalid. That's not a kosher Sefer Torah. Now the Gemara continues on top of Nanheim and Aleph, u'mayshno med Rabami. Why is Rabbi Avoh's halacha different Rabami, where Rabami said to him that no, that although you believe to lose your payment, you're not believed to cause a loss for the Sefer Torah, as we had said seemingly from the halacha of Abraisa, because not biyadoi anymore. Why did Rabbi Avoh say, since you believe to lose your payment, you're also believed to say the Sefer Torah is possible? So the Gemara says they're different. Hasam ikla meimer. There, by Rabbi Ami's case, you could say that the guy is lying. And his intention is actually to cause problems for his purchaser. Why? Because Toi, he's making a mistake. He thinks that he's not going to lose all the payment that he had for what he had worked. He thinks he's only going to lose the payment for the Shem Hashems that he had written, as he's claiming, oh, the Shem Hashems I didn't write Lishma. Now, his mistake is Bidir Rabbi Yirmiyah, with the halacha of Rabbi Yirmiyah that we had said, which Rabbi Yirmiyah had said, wait a second, why should he lose the whole Sefer Torah? Let him lose only the payment for the Hashem's name that he had written inappropriately. Now, he doesn't, and this guy's making that same mistake. He doesn't realize that actually, as Rabbi Yirmiyah told him, no, you're actually losing all the payment because the Sefer Torah is not valid at all. So therefore, it could be that he's actually not telling the truth. Because it could be that he's saying this, he doesn't think he's going to lose all the money. So he's trying to cause problems. So, you know what, we're not going to believe you, and you actually will lose all your money. But Hacha, over here in the case of Rebbe Vo, regarding the parchment, where Kivin, since he knows the Komafsid Kuli Igri, he's going to lose all his payment because he realizes that this problem is not just an isolated problem in Hashem's names, not having the right parchment, or the whole Sefer Torah is written on this parchment. So he knows he's going to lose all his payment. Still, maybe he's having here Shuv and he's saying, Rebbe, I made a mistake. I did something wrong. Va'asva Amar. And still he comes and he says, and he admits that he's going to lose all the payment, and he says it's puzzle. Eimer kushtakama. That's why Rebbe Vo says, maybe he's telling the truth. And therefore, we're going to believe him. And there's a very strong, what's called mikui. There's a very strong reason to believe him. Because even though it's not B'yodeh anymore, but some guy who worked years and is going to lose his whole parnasa, his whole livelihood for who knows how long, and he knows that when he's saying that, so there's reason to believe him, and that's why he told him that, you know what? Since you believe to lose your payment, you're also believed to lose, to create a problem, a deficiency in the kashrus of the Sefer Torah, and it's not going to be kasher. You believe to say that it wasn't Ubi Lishma, again, in contrast to the case of Rabbi Ami, where there's reason to suspect that he's not telling the truth, even though he's going to lose all the money, but he didn't realize that he's going to lose all the money. He felt like Rabbi Ami had said that he's only going to lose the Askar Shabba, and that's why, ultimately, he's believed to say what he had done wrong, and he's going to lose all the payment, because ultimately the Sefer Torah is possible, if he would be correct, but he's not believed to say that the Sefer Torah is possible, again, because you don't have that migui, and also it's not B'yad anymore, because the Sefer Torah is already B'yad L'keach.